Welcome, everybody, to our first episode of Real Estate Climate San Antonio Market Analysis with John Barr III and Marco Romero. Today, we're going to be talking about John Barr's very special, unique San Antonio real estate market update, where he takes all the data that is possibly relevant, puts it into one place, and gives you a snapshot of the entire market analysis of the real estate market in San Antonio. You don't want to miss it. And Marco and John will also be talking about interest rates and how they're affecting the real estate market. So stay tuned. Put your comments below. Tell us who you are. Tell us any questions you have. This is an in-depth investor special. We want to help get you guys on track to master the future of the San Antonio real estate market. And you should know the market before the market owns you. So I'm going to give it away to John and Marco, and you guys take it away.
Welcome, welcome.
How's everybody doing?
Yes, yes. This is a very exciting, exciting time that we're going to be going into numbers. We're going to go into statistics. And John, you've been doing this for quite some time. You want to kind of tell a little bit what started this?
Yeah, it was something that about a year and a half ago I started doing because I could never find a place that I could find all the data that I wanted to. I was a very analytically minded person. I understood economics. I understand there's forces that drive prices. And working on the investor side, I think it's very important that we understand where the market has been, where it is now, so we can better position ourselves to where it's going. So I could never find a place that gave me the data that I wanted. So I just started compiling it in different areas and putting it into information for myself. And then somebody asked me about a year and a half ago, asked if I would be more than happy to present the data in a more easier format for them to understand. And I said, why not? So I put it together, and a year and a half later, now Facebook Live has taken off. So we just went ahead and started just trying to put it out here.
Now you're a celebrity.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, well, let's get into it. I know you've compiled some data. Let's share a little bit of what you found.
Okay, well, like I said, this is I always put in here like the what month it's from, because sometimes where I get my information, I use some like the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They're a few months behind. SABOR usually kind of keeps things up to date by the time we actually do these. So I get it from a number of different sources. A lot of it's the MLS data, me being a licensed agent. I download the information off the MLS every month, and I compile it and organize it. So we'll kind of go ahead and get into the first slide here, and we'll explain it as it goes. So the average sales price in San Antonio was just over $255,000, or just under $256,000 less this last month, and the 3.89% increase. And anytime you see the YOY, that means year over year. So this time last year, we're at a 3.89% increase.
And John, this is just the city of San Antonio, not necessarily Bexar County.
It's the New Braunfels, San Antonio MSA. So
everything in SABOR.
So it covers SABOR. So, I mean, it doesn't cover all of Bexar County, but it does go up to Fair Oaks, over to New Braunfels, down into San Antonio. So it's all of the data that I can collect from the San Antonio Board of Realtors.
So the main areas in this market.
Yeah, basically the main areas that drive this market here in San Antonio. So, the median sales price is $209,000, which is 3.5% increase from this time last year. Total sales has almost hit $2,900, which is a 9.6% increase from this time last year, which is a huge uptick in sales heading into the summer. Average rents was $1,432, which is a 1.8% increase year over year. The employment, now, like I said, this is from March, so I don't have April yet, but we're sitting over 1.1 million people that are currently employed in the San Antonio area, and is a 3.24 increase year over year. So we've been gaining a lot of people here in San Antonio as the South Central Texas area continues to grow month over month.
And putting everybody to work.
Yeah, we really are, because you can see our unemployment rate is at 3.47. It's creeped up a little bit, but nothing that's really to worry about. If I saw that creeping up a lot, I'd start to be concerned. But the historical average right now for the nation is just 4. I think it's like 4.1 or 4.0. So we're way below that here in Texas. Now, months inventory is something that I gauge of the speed and health of the market on the investor side, because it shows the overall demand for housing. A balanced market, where prices theoretically should remain flat and stable is 6 months. That means if no new houses were rented, that means every single house would sell in a 6 month time period. So anytime we're below that, there's a lot of economic forces to drive the price of housing prices up because there's low inventory, high demand, low inventory drives the prices up. And so you can see we had a little bit of a decrease from the previous month. And you see in the next slide our real estate cycles, and that continue. I would expect to see that to continue to shrink as we move through. So as we go on to the next slide.
Hey, so real quick, before we go to the next slide, John. So I know that you do this presentation in Alamoria quite frequently. There's a lot of people that see this data with you because you've been doing this quite some time. So people have seen the progression, but there's a lot of people here that haven't seen these type of numbers before. So for instance, when we look at the percentages on, let's take the top three, the average sales price, the median sales, and the total sales, you have the percentages there. You have 3.89, 3.5, and 9.6. Those are all increases, but compared to what you've seen in the past, is that a dramatic increase? Is it just a tick up? You know, where does it kind of fall in line with what has happened in the past?
So I get what you're going at. So it's maintained consistent, but it's been dropping a little bit, except for last month when it comes to median sales price, it really kind of shot up significantly from the year over year. And you'll see that in my year over year appreciation. But we have been kind of slowly squeezing down, and that's the talk we'll give a little bit later on about the interest rates and how that's kind of, I think, going to affect these real estate prices. So it's been pretty consistent, and you'll kind of see it really kind of took off as we came out of the bottom of the real estate market, and it's slowly kind of compressing down. And I do one for the entire state as well, not as in far in depth as I do in San Antonio, but that's pretty consistent with the rest of Texas, except for the Dallas market, which has just been red hot for like 6 years now. But they've all just kind of starting to condense, and the numbers coming back to the normal appreciations and normal numbers.
Okay. And you mentioned the main number that kind of stuck out to you was that percentage increase with the total sales. Why did that number kind of stick out to you a little bit more?
Just because normally we have a gradual increase into the summertime, which are our hot months of like May, June, July. But then and then into August, they start to tick back down. But this year, it shot up significantly faster and in the median sales price of last month over the historical month. So It's getting hotter faster. It's kind of what kind of shocked me a little bit.
Wow. Awesome. Well, this is exciting. All right. I know we're going to the second slide here and we can go over that. But just really quick for everybody that's watching, we have John here from Prime Homes who's going over the intricacies and the statistics of not only month-to-month change, but year-over-year change. And this is a great opportunity for you as an investor to understand what's happening in your market, which is the San Antonio market and what's covered by SABOR. So if you have any particular questions or comments or anything that you want to cover here, we have the expert, Mr. John Barr here, that can go over, answer, and give you just his general feedback of what's happening too, which may impact your business. So don't be bashful. Take this opportunity to leave comments and questions. So, all right, let's go on to the next slide here.
All right, so this is what I was talking about, the median sales prices and our real estate cycle. So you can see this is from June 2010 through last month of April 2018, and you can kind of see how the median sales price kind of goes up in the summertime. So every time you see those peaks, that's our summer months. That's the June, July, August when prices are at their highest, and then they drop back off, and then sales also drops with that too. So all the cycles kind of follow the same between the median sales price, the rental prices, and everything like that. They follow these very similar cycles. So you can kind of see it jumps up right there at the bottom. That's December. Everybody wants to get into their house before the Christmas time. So you get a little jump in prices there in November. But this is how kind of what I follow to see like how the median sales prices continues to rise over time and potentially fall as they tend to do. And you can see right down there at June, right there at the very beginning of the chart, that was the very bottom of the real estate market, was right around the 2010-2011 time frame when prices hit the bottom at the 130,000, and then they rose up since then. So that's kind of how I put this graph together, so I can follow the cycles and kind of see where they're going year over year. And you can kind of see for April, we've gotten pretty high pretty quick. Excuse me. And that's where, like, we were talking about that it seems like everything's getting hotter faster this year.
So this graph is to show in perspective. You have the bottom to show the progression from there and keep that perspective in line as we go year over year here.
Yes, correct.
Cool. So,
yeah, we'll move on to the next slide. And you can kind of see how the rents do the exact same thing. The little blip there on the far right, I think that was a mistake by somebody inputting the data. They kind of screwed up and hit a 3 instead of a 4 and it dropped it down, because I don't see why it would drop that much in a month and then to shoot back up the next. But this is our rental market. So you can see how they highest rents are always in the same time frames of the summer months. So I've always kind of mentioned to people, and we do the same, where we try to get our renovations on the market this time of year, and we structure leases. We'll do a 7, 8, 9, 11 month lease to make them end in the March time frame, to where we can, if we need to, we can do a renovation, we can have it on the market for April to catch that next uptick in rent. So it's something we kind of just track and keep in mind to see where they're ticking over time, and then just to kind of watch the cycles.
So that was huge. That was huge. Can you reiterate that one more time? So your strategy you mentioned is to try and capitalize on the highest rent rate that you can, and you try and time it in a particular way so that your property is available when those increase in rents are lined up from a year perspective, lining it up with a particular
Correct.
Month.
So, I mean, like, because we don't know when we're going to get a property. A good deal comes along, and we get one in November and it takes a month rehab, and all of a sudden we're trying to rent it in December, which is the very bottom of the market, where we don't want to do that. And if we get a tenant in there, it's like, hey, let's do a 4-month lease and then re-sign for another year. Or if they want to say, well, I don't want to stay more than a year, so like, okay, let's do a 14-month lease or 15-month lease to make them end in that time frame, or move them 1 month at a time, do a 13-month, to where you're getting closer and closer to where if a tenant does leave, you are capitalizing on that next market cycle when rents are typically at their highest amounts. Year over year.
That's awesome. Huge. I like what you're doing there. Pretty smart. If y'all are watching, you should be writing notes. That was a big one right there.
So if you move on to the next slide, I'll kind of follow what I use for gauging the health is when I talked about those unemployment rates and why I really wasn't worried that we've kind of been ticking up a little bit, because we dropped off very low. You can see in the right, and I tracked this over 20 years. So you can see the last two recessions we had between the dot-com bubble and the real estate bubble. And you can see how fast those unemployment rates really shoot up. So that's what would worry me if I see month over month start taking 2-10s, 3-10s jumps every single month, because they shoot up quick. So that's why I think it's very important to understand, because if people aren't getting jobs, I mean, credit markets are slowing down. The economic engine slowing down, and we're moving into a recession. And I would see that start to affect real estate prices and home inventories as well. So I think it's very important to track that stuff and to kind of keep a pulse on it and see where it's at. So you can kind of predict, like, hey, are we falling down in recession, or are we just kind of maintaining moving right along?
So the main things that you're looking at here is the rate change from month to month. If there's any big spikes, that's what you're looking exactly for in this graph.
Yeah. And I mean, even at this down here at this low, if we get a 2-10th, I'm not worried about it. But if I saw month over month it climbing a 10th or 2-10th, 3-10th that continuously and continue past where kind of the shelf has been hitting of like 4%, we start getting 4.5 and above and continue rising, that's when I would start to be concerned of where the direction, where things are heading.
Awesome. Looks like we have a lot of people working here in San Antonio.
Yeah, we do. And I mean, we're really moving along. So if we move on to the next slide. This is where when you were asking me about what those numbers really meant, what those numbers look like in the past and what they look like today. And this is something I started tracking, the year-over-year appreciation rates. So you can kind of see the bottom down there on the far left of the graph. That was the 2011 timeframe where prices were falling. And then you can see we jumped almost up to 10% for several years. And then now we've slowly just been kind of trending down. Except for this last month, we jumped up to 9% year-over-year appreciation. Like I was mentioning, it got hotter faster. So I'll see if that continues. But it seems like the numbers had been falling and turning back down to the average appreciation of housing, which is around 3-4% year-over-year. And now that's an average over time. So we've been hitting up in the 10s for some time now, but We also had negative six for a few years. So I see us kind of condensing back down to more of the average where it should be for now. So that's why I track this. And to answer your question of where it's been in the past to where it is today.
Awesome.
So that does that really get what you were going after on those first?
Yeah, totally. I didn't realize you had an even better, fancier graph coming up later. You had it right around the corner, so that's good. But yeah, I'm excited what we're going into next. So let's see where that goes.
Move on to the next slide. And the next thing that this has actually become quite popular, something that I saw when I first got into real estate for almost 4 years ago, they put like the best zip codes based on the month's inventory. Like, where are the hottest housing? Where is the lowest inventory, the highest demand for prices to increase to where if you're doing renovations, you have an opportunity to where you're holding on to property for 3, 4, 5 months and prices actually increase over time. So I thought that was a huge thing. So we'll go on to the next slide and kind of move this through. I do it track by two different ways, one by price range and then one by zip code. And I think the price range is important because you can see where the bulk of inventory and the shortage of housing is. And everybody knows we hear the housing demand shortage here in the United States, affordable housing. So like, where are those price ranges really at? And here in San Antonio, you can see we hit a huge shelf when we jump above 250,000, where months of inventory really start to climb up at a pretty significant rate. So that's why for our renovations that we try to do, I try to stay under that 250,000 as much as possible, because there's not a lot of inventory. So if you're seeing a 1.5 months of inventory, that means across the entire city, there's only 1.5 months of inventory. So if no new houses got listed in a city where of 1.3 or 4 million people, when you include the suburbs, there's not much housing. There's a very high demand for those types of properties. And that's going to continue to increase as those numbers stay low of housing kind of being pushed up into those price ranges at a pretty significant rate. So I haven't broken it down as much, but the appreciation year over year, month over month of those price ranges. And I'd venture to say as the higher the prices get, they are lower number of appreciations as compared to the lower priced homes. You might see 10, 12, 15% increases, where in the higher end, you might see 3 or 4 just because there's not as much demand for those houses.
So it looks like the highest potential here is the $150,000 to $200,000 range, just based on the lowest inventory.
Correct. And I mean, pretty much anything, like, because I've represented some buyers a few times in the last couple of years, and especially in that price range, there's no negotiating power. And a lot of times the buyers are willing to pay well above the list price, and the appraisers are the ones that are actually pumping the brakes and slowing them down and bringing the prices back down. Because like, we get you want to pay that, but the market can't support it. So it doesn't get hot too fast. And then you have things like Phoenix and big recessions happen where prices revert much quicker than they go up. So they're trying to keep the prices where they make a little more manageable, a little more sense.
So when you're looking at this from your own lens as an investor yourself, is there what are the key areas that your eyes kind of gravitate towards for your own business that maybe somebody else can kind of emulate when they're looking at these numbers as well?
I mean, it's really what the months of inventory, because I don't want to have why the margins for profit might be bigger in the $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes as far as like a dollar amount. There's not as much demand for housing in there. So when we're handling renovations, I want to keep the bulk of my inventory of our renovations in that sub 250,000 to where if I need to liquidate, I know there's a very high demand for housing and I can get through those a lot quicker and I don't have to spend as much money and I don't have as much holding costs. Cause if you're paying 10-12% interest on your money and you got $350,000 pulled out, that's a very expensive bill coming straight off your bottom line every single time. So that's why for us, we're trying to stay in those lower price ranges as much as possible.
This is a perfect example of just using data, actual data, rather than, you know, emotion or gut feeling or things like that, but actually using numbers and data to guide your business in an arena or in a direction that will help you generate more success, but also give you more flexibility when there's situations that don't go according to plan. So These things are huge. So awesome. I'm really excited to see that. So the key price range, 150 to 200,000. You might want to put a little star next to that one.
Yeah. Correct. And we'll move on to the next slide. And then it gets even more interesting when we see by zip code. So now these are the top bet zip codes as far as months of inventory. That means like if you have a renovation here, more likely, or you own a home in one of these zip codes, prices are really going to start going up. And you can see in the anybody knows San Antonio, the 78250, which is number four on that that list, and 78251, which basically covers the entire northwest side of our city. And that's a very large span of area. There's a lot of homes over there. To see only 1.37 and 1.64 months of inventory shows a very, very housing shortage. And then to see that the average price ranges are all in that sub 200, 250 price range. Most of them are under 200 and a few are encroaching on the 200, and just the two zip codes are in the sub 250s. So it's something, if you're doing your marketing into these zip codes, you know, there's a lot of demand for housing. There's a lot of economic forces really driving those prices up over time.
Totally. Now, keep in mind, everybody watching, if you have questions or comments, throw them in the comment section. We want to make sure we can cover everything for you and go over these things. So really, this is these zip codes, again, the main indicator, the arena in which you're focusing on to determine how powerful these zip codes are, really keeps coming back to the months of inventory. It really just kind of showcases like what's available, the supply and demand, I guess, is what it comes down to at the very minimum.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, one zip code I've kind of been watching for a long time is that 78247. Since I've been doing this, it's always in the top 10. And I went back a year, and I think it was in like the low 180s a year ago. And we're just getting ready to hit 200 in that zip code. And that's right off a 281 to the east. That's a pretty good size zip code too. Very well developed, not much land in there. So a lot of people want to live in that area. And there's not much houses going on the market. So they're really kind of, prices are increasing in that area.
And, you know, I really like to look at this because obviously from a flipper standpoint or somebody that's doing rehabs, you know, you want to be in an area where you can get top dollar, of course, but also you have the negotiation power that you mentioned earlier. Since there's lower inventory, you know, buyers don't have very many options as far as properties to pursue. And that gives you a leveraging perspective when you're negotiating with these buyers. But additionally, if you're a landlord, you know, these can be target areas to buy properties in that your equity just keeps building and building through the appreciation. Just nice. Due to the low volume of properties that are available, which can lead to, hey, maybe you sell in a year, maybe you sell in 2 years and capture that equity and all that appreciation. Or B, you can refinance in a year or two. And now that it's at a higher value, you can get a larger loan to value percentage. And, pull the equity and those type of things. So there's a huge... there's huge benefits by being knowledgeable of where to attack, being strategic and where you place your money and actually acquire properties for your portfolio. And what John is providing here is some killer, killer information. I mean, literally right there, the zip codes to be targeting, it's harder to get more specific than that. So if you, I would take a screenshot of this and save that and go from there.
And if you go to the next slide, you got the best zip codes, you got the worst zip codes. it's something to hear to see that, no surprise, all of these that have high months of inventory are the $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 houses. There's a few in here that are amongst the lower price ranges, but like the 78207 and the 78201, those zip codes, the reason those are kind of on here is they're much more run down inventory. A lot of housing stock that is very old, doesn't qualify for financing, doesn't qualify for any kind of bank loan. So people haven't been doing anything with them because up until now, it wasn't worth buying those properties, putting the money that it needed to take to fix them to try to flip them or sell them because it didn't make sense for anybody. But now you see prices are increasing enough to where 72.7, historically the cheapest real estate in all of San Antonio, is now actually getting prices to increase to where people can sell those properties on the MLS and I can start collecting that data.
There's some growing momentum there. Well, you hit a nail on the head with the fact that those type of properties can't even qualify for financing. The typical buyers in those areas might be more people that aren't afraid of the rundown nature of the properties or paying cash. So just the pool of buyers in that arena is so dramatically smaller. So of course that would make sense that the properties over there stay on the market so much longer.
Yep, correct. So I go to the next slide. It's just the portion that we were talking about of the rising interest rates. So this is a little slide that I kind of pulled from Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. They put together to see like where interest rates really are and what those effects kind of have. And this is over a 2-year time frame. So you can kind of see those two big spikes that we've had that where interest rates for mortgages for 30-year fixed mortgages is hitting, getting pretty close to 5%. And that's really going to start, I think it's the way for the Federal Reserve to kind of start tightening the monetary policy to kind of slow down some of the appreciation, because as housing becomes less and less available to people and construction costs continue to rise, now you start having the pressure that's driving home prices up, and now you have interest rates rising, which is going to drive up house payments, which directly affects people's ability to purchase. Which so it's kind of like pumping the brakes and trying to slow down the appreciation a little bit, and to have housing kind of stop appreciating at 8, 9, 10% year-over-year appreciations. So I don't
Right.
think it would revert it and make it sort of backwards, but it's a way for it to slow down. And where houses don't continue. So if you're investing only for equity and trying to pump them year over year, that might be a hard become a little bit of harder of a strategy when they're trying to slow down the appreciation rates by increasing interest rates, housing demands continue to go up, and construction costs continue to go up. It might become more difficult over the time frame.
Totally. That chart is what you just went over is more of the long-term perspective of where is the long-term trajectory? What are the bigger forces at play? What are they trying to do to influence the market and how that ultimately affects you and when you're investing? But before we go into the next slide, do we have Kirk? Do we have any comments? Any questions? Any super fans out there just saying that they appreciate the data here from Mr. John Barr the third?
Yeah, we got a lot of comments going on. Arturo is
Guess
saying
not.
this is
Guess we got
gold.
crickets. I'll look on here. We got Arturo. He is
Well,
saying this is gold. Appreciate it, Arturo.
I don't know if there's a
Mike,
lot.
appreciate you being in here. And Hernando, he says that Prime Homes has the best market reports in San Antonio, which is huge.
Awesome.
So
Okay,
apparently,
so let's move on to the next one.
so Marco, you can't hear me then? Hello?
Apparently you can't, Marco can't hear you. I can hear you,
Apparently,
but
Marco can't hear me. Yeah, that's interesting. We'll
can
have to
you hear
figure
me?
out.
I can hear you, but apparently
You
you
can't
can't.
hear me.
I can hear you, so.
Anyway,
We'll keep on going. They don't even
yeah,
need to
we'll go to
hear
the
me.
next slide, and it kind of goes right along with these the rising interest rates cost. Is something that I had found about a survey that Redfin had done that said 21 when they did it, they asked a poll of like what would they do if interest rates rose, and says 21% of respondents said rising rates passing 5% would increase the urgency to buy a home, which would shorten the supply smaller and driving prices up. But 27% said they'd slow their search to see if rates come back down, and 6% said they'd cancel their search for a home altogether because of rising rates. And so that's where I kind of said like those rates go up, that drives payments up. It makes it harder for people to afford homes. And CoreLogic had built a little model out that assumed a 2.6% rise in home prices based on the inventory, the construction costs, and then a 0.85% rate hike over the next year to try to better understand what those impacts would be. And then so taking those into account, the typical monthly mortgage payment would rise from 804 to 910. And that's just a mortgage payment. That doesn't include insurance and taxes, which you also have to realize here in Texas, our property taxes are extremely high because we don't have an income tax.
Right.
So if we saw a 2.6% increase in rise in home prices, we'd see a 2.6% increase in taxes as well. So you combine all those factors into those payments, and you're putting a lot of pressure on that debt to income that's maxed at 45% right now. for your home buyers. So every time those rates go up, every time taxes go up, prices go up, it's putting more and more pressure on those people. And when they talk about that they cannot get wage increases, that's not going to be a good combination, because if people aren't getting paid more, that means they can't afford more. And if they're taking on more and more debt, that's going to cause a lot of things. And that's one thing that kind of causes economic credit risk cycles, is people get too stretched. Then things have to slow down because they just physically can't afford to buy more.
Totally. So obviously you went into this and you looked at a lot of key information. I know that one of the other key pieces of information was just the interest rate in general from the Federal Reserve and the interest rate that they set and have been increasing. Have you been looking at that at all?
That was off of them. If they, you go back a slide, it was directly from the Federal Reserve. So there was a – it was more of a study done on interest rates. 30-year fixed mortgage interest rates, a poll of where the average kind of was sitting at. So I don't know what the actual interest rate currently sits at. I think it's at like a 1.25, but all of these derive off of that interest rate. They usually kind of say we do 3% above prime, which that's basically, or 3.4. So when it was at zero and you saw a 3% interest rate, it's basically saying, hey, we're just 3 points above whatever the Federal Reserve kind of is. So I don't follow that as much. I kind of do watch a little bit of like kind of the 10-year treasury. You know, it's kind of a staple in the industry, just to kind of understand and learn how that affects all these different areas. Cause it's one thing you got to understand too, is these numbers they all come from the same number, but they all have different things that really affect these numbers as well. So that's why I kind of watch multiple different areas between the 10-year treasury, the Fed prime rate, the interest rates on the average mortgages, to see which ones are moving. And so I can kind of over time understand what drives those factors.
Totally. So if we take all this information, everything you just gone over from a bird's eye view, and clearly you've been doing this for months and months and years now, what is your overall kind of takeaway? What are some general components here that really come to mind for you? What are the key items that really stood out to you? And then especially more for maybe the newer investor, somebody that is getting more into the business or has just done a few deals, what are some of the key items for them to be knowledgeable about for their own market that they're participating in?
I mean, from my own perspective, I'll break down the question a little bit of where I think the market is. I mean, we've been in this is now the second longest recovery we've ever had in U.S. history. I have never seen a recession yet, because I've only been doing this for 4 years, and the last one was almost 10 years ago now. From when it started. So I haven't seen it. So I'm a little bit leery about that, but it's also what drove me to watch these things. So make sure, like I said, don't own the market for the market owns you kind of thing. So I want to watch that stuff. So I see all these things going on, and it kind of worries me a little bit that I'm starting to see we've been in very loose economic policies the better part of our adult lives. So I want to watch that stuff. So I think to me, we're due. But there's still a lot of things. So a lot of people I still follow still think that we still got room to run for a couple more years. But who knows? It could turn on a dime and it could go the other way, because nobody saw 2008 coming until it was already there and it was too late to do anything about it.
Right.
But it's also to kind of hedge yourself to not get too leveraged up with debt and the wrong type of debt, to where it's very short term, very high interest rate, to where you couldn't liquidate and you don't have an out. So that's where you do not want to be. So that's kind of where we kind of hedge our business, and why I watch this stuff, to make sure nothing bad happens, or if something's coming, at least somewhat prepared about it.
Awesome. So obviously you took a lot of time. There was a lot of energy and effort and meticulous attention to be able to derive this information, this data, and you have some awesome looking graphs and everything, those type of things. But from a very basic level, is there a way that some people can do some research on their own, some websites or places they can go for maybe more surface level, more accessible information where they can do a little bit of research of their own?
I mean, besides tuning into us every month?
Exactly. Besides that.
Tune into us every month, but there's some other stuff you can do. I mean, the local board of realtors does an okay job. They kind of tailor it more towards your real estate agent because they follow more days on market, but it'll give you a total sales volume. And some of them do give a median sales price out there. Their Texas A&M real estate division puts out a great little website that you can kind of go play around in that shows population, unemployment growth. That's kind of where I get some of this stuff from as well. And they put out articles that the Texas Housing Authority puts out, the Federal Reserve, they'll kind of put a link to it every now and then. So the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center is a great place that they can go and play around and kind of get familiar with that website and just kind of look at the data there. But that's also why I put this together, is because I couldn't find a great place that gave me a good broad spectrum of everything. So it's all kind of very segregated and kind of all over the place of where you're wanting to, or where you need to go to find stuff.
Totally. Yeah. Texas A&M, they have some great data. Not as good as John's here, but they have some really good data there that you can check out with a lot of information. And it's pretty accessible. They also have a blog with just some different key components that they kind of are researching and their inputs and what they are seeing. So those are fun reads in themselves. And it's not just residential. They cover all aspects of real estate in itself. So John, really appreciate you taking the time, really going into depth here. It looks like we're getting some great feedback here in the message boards already. But so I know a lot of people already know you, but there are some that don't. So can you tell a little bit about yourself, your business, and how you know, people can get in contact with you and reach out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Facebook, just John Barr, or our Facebook page is Prime Homes as well. We also do a little newsletter every month where if you miss a live feed or you can't find it, you can subscribe to that. And we kind of put a little newsletter out. The market update, a video link is there. PDF slides are available there as well. So you can go to our website at primehomes.com and sign up through there. My email address is just john@primehomes.com. So I keep it pretty simple there. We're a real estate investment company. We take people's private money and we put it to work. We have several renovations and projects and some buy and hold properties that we work on and hold on to for the long term. So we, in these areas where we see the appreciation going, where we base everything off of cash flow so we can sustain the investment to capture the appreciation over time. So that's kind of our main focus, but it's also why I get this information, is to go into my business to make sure I'm not buying in the wrong spot or at the wrong time.
Totally. And don't y'all have a podcast as well?
Yeah, we did start putting out a podcast called The Investor's Journey. So it kind of just puts a journey of ourselves, because my partner and I, Jonathan Barbera, him and I, just we started from nothing and we just kind of went through the journey. Neither one of us